Good evening. Now, before we get started, just a quick side note. And we know that there are those of you that have traveled a long distance to get here today. And we also know that with traveling comes exhaustion and very heavy eyelids. Therefore, we have a proposition which is as follows. If everyone, young and adults, will look up all the scriptures with me tonight, then I believe we can conclude our remarks in about 15 to 20 minutes. However, if I don't hear the pages turning, then that must mean more time is needed to absorb you in tonight's exhortation, which will probably take me about 50 to 60 minutes. Either way, I'll be listening for those turning pages. We'd like to spend the next few minutes reviewing a specific word that is often overlooked within scriptures and within our daily lives. The word that we have chosen for tonight's exhortation is not something that is frequently referenced throughout the scriptures, but the impact and significance of this single word is very profound. According to Strong's Concordance, there are 12 different references to this word in one form or another found within the scriptures. And before we share with you what this word is, let's start by providing you with the following clues. Number one, this word is used to describe the Word of God. Number two, this word is used to describe how we should serve God. And number three, this word is used to describe how we should love our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is deity speaking to man, and with all the authority of the everlasting ages says to search it. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us. With that being said, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians. In Paul's letters to the Corinthians, we see the faith of the apostle demonstrated and also the wonderful sincerity he showed in his words and deeds. The English word sincerity occurs four times in these letters, and on three occasions we see that it is translated with the same Greek noun. Let's take a few minutes and review the following passages referred to in the letters to the Corinthians. Let's start with 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Let's pick this up in the middle of verse 7. Christ our Passover is sacrificed on behalf of us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Paul's counsel is that the old leaven of malice and wickedness, of evil thinking and evil doing, has to be purged out, and the unleavened things of sincerity and truth are to be put in its place, so that the memorial feast may be kept worthily and not to our condemnation. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to youward. The apostle was always careful to live in simplicity, that is, being genuine and in godly sincerity, meaning his conduct was always genuine and sincere. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 2, verse 17. That's chapter 2, verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God speak we in Christ. Paul was referring to the Judaizers at Corinth, who were teaching false doctrine and corrupting the word of God. In contrast with them, Paul was conscious of his responsibility in the sight of God, conscious that he was an apostle of Christ and spoke in his name, and that unlike these others, his thoughts and his actions were sincere. The English words sincerity and sincere have their root in two Latin words meaning without wax. And they are said to be derived from the practice of the Roman potters of filling in with wax the crevices and faults in their workmanship. There were many fine pottery makers in the Roman world, and it turned out to be a lucrative business. The pottery would be formed, then placed into an oven to cure. The well-respected potter would inspect his pottery after it was heated, and if any cracks were found, the vessel would be discarded, and the process would start all over. Naturally, this would increase the overall price and value of fine pottery. Given the same situation, other less dependable potters would take the blemished vessel and rub wax into the crevices, perhaps melting it somewhat, then paint over the imperfection and sell it as if it were faultless. These individuals could sell their pottery for cheaper prices, thus undercutting the sincere pottery maker. This prompted the honorable pottery maker to hang a sign over the entrance to their shops that read, Sinceris, S-I-N-C-E-R-U-S, Sinceris, meaning, this store has pottery without wax. Therefore, a vessel without wax was one which had no flaws or blemishes concealed. The phrase was also used in connection with honey. Honey without wax was clear or transparent. The Greek word used in the passages quoted is one derived from the custom of assessing the purity of honey by holding it up to the light to see whether there was wax in it. And also, the texture of cloth material was judged in the same manner by holding it up to the sun so that any faults in the threads would be immediately visible. The Greek word, therefore, in its meaning involves essentially a testing by light. And it means a freedom from the presence of corruption, open to the light, judged of in the sunlight, and so found to be genuine, pure, and harmonious throughout. Therefore, those who do not turn their eyes towards the light of the Scriptures fall into error and into frequent faults. Please turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. Verse 10, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. Sincerity implies a continuous harmony between our convictions and our words and deeds. Yahweh knows all things, and it is vain to attempt to cover up deceitful ways. Convictions are not adaptable to circumstances, else they are no longer convictions. We must not conceal truth in a polite disguise, for that is insincerity. Let first principles be settled with great care, then held most firmly, as we must be willing to defend the truth at all cost. For Paul says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Moreover, let every thought and imagination be brought into captivity to Christ and call him only master. In a righteous study of the Bible, there must be spiritual mindedness. In truth, the carnal mind is enmity against God. The different books that make up the Bible must be made to harmonize. They all must stand or fall together. If one is not true, neither is another. Let's turn over to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Verse 8, the spoke of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. In order to gain a sure and steadfast knowledge, a good rule is a little at a time and often repeated. A little at a time and often repeated. We know that in farming, a rotation of the crops is encouraged and said to be a wise plan. In physical labor, to change from one task to another is to rest. And in mental exercise, to keep out of a routine and freely exercise the brain is to enlarge and strengthen the capacity of the mind. Lord willing, we'll be blessed with the opportunity to exercise and refresh our minds this week. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. The Bible standard is milk for babes and meat for strong men. But with the Holy Spirit as our teacher, minds of limited capability may be strengthened and enlarged in capacity. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. We walk by faith. The truly enlightened mind will believe on evidence, just as the same mind will refuse to believe without Bible testimony on a vital question. There are those who doubt because of what men say and do, forgetful of the fact that deity cannot lie, and that the word that he has spoken must and will be fulfilled. To have unfaltering faith, one must have a simple, sincere, honest-hearted love of God's word in order to sacrifice and protect the truth at all cost. Dr. Thomas tells us not to compromise the scriptures so that it speaks what we want it to speak, but give it its own proper application according to the scope of the discourse. The way to do this is to receive the engrafted word with meekness. Moreover, it requires a sincere reflection. The psalmist says, I will meditate in thy precepts. Oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Let's read verses 27 and 28. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are all likened to whitest sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. From Matthew 23, we learn that the Pharisees were not sincere individuals, and therefore were labeled hypocrites. It was the absence of harmony between their innermost thoughts and their outward lives which moved Jesus to denounce them with so much anger. As in the Pharisees whom Jesus denounced, so in the Cretans, Paul had noticed a lack of sincerity. Let's turn to the book of Titus. Please turn to the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 16. Titus, chapter 1, verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. The word reprobate in verse 16 has many meanings. Void of judgment, counterfeit, sham, something that will not stand probate or proving, therefore not genuine, not sincere. In other words, there were hypocrites among them, men and women, who were insincere. There was this harmony between the profession of love for God and what they did, meaning they had one foot in the truth while keeping one foot in the world. Is this something that we are guilty of as well? How often do we meet with insincerity in the world around us, and how infinite are its manifestations? Insincerity of speech is a daily occurrence, and along with this, something said to us in conversation may be superficially cordial, but is often, in reality, a mere formality or exaggeration. We are all too familiar with it in our contact with the world, and we have to be on our guard against the possibility of it infecting us. To the Philippians, Paul says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Why? Let's turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Philippians chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. "That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere, and without offense, or without cause of stumbling, till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." We need to ask ourselves whether we can stand the test of sunlight, whether there is anything in us which would make us wish to avoid such a test, to conceal our inconsistencies and our defects. Have we not been called into a marvelous light? And are we not children of light? Do we walk as such? But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. With all the items that the world offers us that are insincere, with all the prevalent customs and convictions which tend to promote insincerity, with all the attacks that the truth encounters from within Christadelphia, do we stand out as open, simple, honest, direct, sincere, and willing to protect the truth at every and all cost? Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. As our love to the brethren is the sign and test of our love to God, so conversely our love to God, tested by the keeping of His commandments, is the only true basis of love to our brother." Now, Christ is our shining example of sincerity and truth. Our minds must feed on Him by contemplation of what He is and what He has done for us. We feed on Him when in lowly submission. We regularly subject our thoughts, our wills, and our desires to His authority. And when our hearts and minds turn to Him, we find all the nourishment that we require. So if we imitate Him and feed on Him, our sincerity will be manifest and we shall be able to endure the final test. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. David, in Psalm 139, after declaring the omnipresence and omniscience of God, concludes with a prayer to God that he should be searched and purged of all insincerity of thought or deed. And we cannot more fittingly conclude than by voicing David's prayer for sincerity. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Thank you.